All right, welcome members. Adam plugging in here on Tuesday night, the 21st of June, 2022. Plugging in here with you from Sydney, Australia. I hope you guys are doing fine tonight. Plugging in here for the Night Watch podcast to cover the latest. Always. So much going up, right? It's kind of crazy. And I am here. Everything's up on the website, crazfiles.com. Hope you're enjoying, and as always, thank you so much for your support. I can't keep that website up and rock and rolling without some support, so great to have you guys on deck here with me as we move forward into 2022. Man, it's flying. Time is flying by. Crikeys. Pretty tired, so I'll just do a short one tonight. I'm buggered. I was going to have a break, but there's a couple of articles that popped up that I thought I'd have a laugh at. And I'll be on tomorrow night with Dawn Lester. So that should be a good show, and I'll put that straight up. Sharon Daffner's on with me on Thursday. Sure, Jason will be on. And Johnny Cerucci will be back on Saturday as well for a massive show. As we go really deep down the rabbit hole here, looking at his work, so that's going to be great as well. But plus doing all these Night Watch shows as well, I'm tired. It's crazy. Just out today doing some things, but two main points that I noticed today were 5G towers and testing clinics. There's these testing, COVID testing clinics are still around, and there's towers everywhere. These 5G towers are just popping up out of nowhere, you know? It's kind of crazy. They're in the bush, they're on top of buildings, they're just out there. There's these towers everywhere. They're out front of hospitals and schools now. They're just on the roads and highways. They're absolutely everywhere. Everywhere you look, this 5G technology is there. And just going for a bit of a bushwalk today around lunch, and there was another one that popped up out of nowhere, and I put the image up on our Telegram channel anyway. It was that stuff is absolutely everywhere. So it's absolutely 100% connected to this scam, man, and it's connected with what's coming, and it's connected with the technology that has been injected into people, and it's connected with the injections and the mRNA shots and the DNA shots, altering shots that are coming, and it's connected with the people who are going to be sick from these jabs and in hospital and needing care. And needing more injections, and it's to do with the future of medicine as they move through here. It's all connected. They're right out front of these hospitals. You can't fucking help, man. There's a brand new hospital right near me. They just put it up on the northern beaches. They're a brand new hospital. There's a massive 5G towers around there, and right out front of the hospital. And isn't it interesting that they've redone some new schools around here? Some private schools, pretty big now. They look like prisons to me, but they've redone some schools around the area, and done them all up and made them pretty big, and boom, just like a magic act, you got a 5G tower that's come out of the ground, right out front of the school. And I know in my area, they want them right near the new school that they've done up. They used to have an old primary school. There was an old primary school near me, and I liked it. It was full of trees, and the buildings were old and broken down, and it was just better, you know? Had like a nice feel, and they've redone it all and put these fences up everywhere with spikes on them, and they've made this massive monstrosity, you know, and they want to put a 5G tower right out the front of it, and some of the locals and families have been getting together because they don't want it, and so there's a bit of a fight going on, but it probably will go up, which will mean there'll be about five just around me right now. It really is incredible. They're bloody well everywhere. Anyway, I hope you guys are doing fine as we get cooked alive. Contact me anytime, of course, through the website, about anything. Strange times, I know. And if you have anything you you might want me to post on the website or chat about, or whatever it may be. If you have any guests that you're in contact with, or you enjoy their books or material, let me know, and I'll reach out to them, see if they want to come on for a chat. I've got some good guests lined up for the months ahead as we continue forward. It keeps us all busy, doesn't it? I'm just going to whiz through a couple here tonight. I don't think I have any videos to play anyway. Just some basic articles. Get into the members area if you want to on the website. Johnny Cerucci logged in there today, so he should be going in and out. If you want to log into the, if you're in the members area and you're a bit confused about the chat room, and it asks you to log in, that's not your login details. You're already logged into the website. Johnny got a bit confused about that. That's just completely separate. You're already in the website. And if you want to log into the chat, if you've got a Facebook or Twitter account, you can use that to log in, which will display your image and everything like that. But if you just want to log in privately, just log in as a guest user and just use whatever name you want and chat away and leave links, YouTube videos, memes, whatever. It's a great little chat area in there, and there's some good information up. And so get into the Kraz Files members area, and I hope you guys are enjoying the podcast anyway. Been a long trip, hasn't it? Indeed. Had an old friend that I grew up with contact me through the email, through the website today, and he'd been listening to some of the podcasts and really loving them, and he's over in South America. He's bugged out of Australia, and it was just awesome to hear this, and there's a lot of folks like us. Unfortunately, I have to stay here on deck. If we go down, we go down. I'm here. I'm really stuck at the moment, you know, and I've got nowhere to run to. But some folks have moved overseas, and they're doing okay. It's I think a good thing about sort of going to more poorer countries like that, or overseas. You know, you're not going to get so much of this new technology they're bringing in here in Australia. It's really crazy, you know. They're really going to hammer us with the AI technology and the 5 and 6G and so on in this country. We're all going to be hooked up to it. You know, I feel violated today that I'm out in such beautiful weather, nice and crisp, having a walk in the park, and there's this bloody tower of death there in the bush, you know, that was never there before. It really, really gives me the creeps, and I don't like it. And I feel like I'm being violated, and I'm being cooked. I feel like my mind is being cooked as well, you know, with these bloody things. It really does seem like that, folks. I swear, every day you go out for a drive in the car, or you go out somewhere, it just seems like there's another tower. I don't know how they're doing it so fast. These things are huge. Anyway, let's have a bit of a laugh with the latest madness. This is the main kind of article for today, and it's out there on many different platforms. I just thought I'd pull up this one because it's open here and I can read through it. This one was from The Insider. So the CDC is advising people who think they've been exposed to monkeypox to socially distance while they masturbate together to avoid spreading the disease. I think some of this came out on our Telegram channel and others, but the CDC has just put out, this is from, you know, only maybe yesterday or whatever, it's probably a couple of days, and they're putting out guidelines for those who want to have sex for some reason, who have or may be exposed to monkeypox, which is fake. So this is all about theatre, and it's all mocking. It's just they're mocking people now. You know what I mean? They're mocking people. They're mocking us. They're mocking human beings. And it's only going to get more insane as we move forward. But this is out there, man, and you can read it, and you just shake your head in disbelief. You shake your head in disbelief that they're getting away with it, but they're doing it because that's the way things are, and I guess people read this and think that it's true. So, yeah, CDC advises people who think they've been exposed to monkeypox to socially distance while they masturbate together to avoid spreading the disease. The CDC issued a sex guidance for people who think they might have been exposed to monkeypox. The recommendations include socially distanced masturbation in order to avoid spreading the virus. That makes sense. So masturbate together at a distance of at least 6 feet, of course, without touching one another, the CDC says. And you can imagine these people in the CDC who are releasing this to the world just laughing their asses off. So the US Centers for Disease Creation has issued new sex guidance for people who think they might have been exposed to monkeypox, and it includes socially distanced masturbation to avoid spreading the virus. The social gathering, safer sex, and monkeypox CDC precautions were issued earlier this month, and there's actually a link there to click on. So if a person or their partner has monkeypox or believes they have contracted the fake illness and they decide to have sex, the CDC recommends that they avoid kissing and masturbate together at a distance of at least 6 feet. Isn't that exciting? Without touching each other and without touching any rash or sores that they have all over their bodies. So I guess that people could like the guy could be naked masturbating with some blue surgical gloves on, and maybe the girl could wear a mask and she could be masturbating, and something like that, you know. Maybe they could dress up in doctor's uniforms or gowns. The girl could wear like a hazmat thing, and the guy could masturbate with gloves on. I guess that kind of stuff. So the CDC has also advised that those who have been exposed to the monkeypox have virtual sex, or consider having sex with your clothes on, or covering areas where there's rashes or sores. Reducing the skin contact as much as possible. The CDC recommends that those potentially infected with monkeypox wash your hands, fetish gear, sex toys, and any fabrics, bedding towels, clothing after having sex. So I know I'm going to do that later tonight. I'm definitely going to wash my hands, and I'm definitely going to wash all that fetish gear. I haven't washed that for a while, folks, and I've got to give the old sex toys a bit of a scrub. You know, they need a good clean, so I've got the soapy stuff going. Hey, you know what? I might have a nice soapy bath later, and I'll put the fetish gear in there with the chains and the G-strings and everything and the sex toys, and I'll have a nice soapy bath, and I'll wash it all, because I need to keep my fetish gear, you know, and my gimp uniform with the red ball that I tie around my mouth. I really need to keep that nice and clean, you know, for when we have these monkeypox masturbating sessions. And so you've also, according to the CDC, you've got to limit your number of partners to avoid you know, spreading monkeypox, because we know the monkeypox came from, you know, lots of gay men having orgies in spa baths in Spain, wasn't it? So, you know, God damn it, you know, I mean, I always say to those gay guys, don't have any orgies in spa baths because you're going to conjure up the monkeypox and it's going to spread around the world, you know. And, you know, and all of this. And they're telling you about the fake virus and causing flu-like symptoms and fevers and muscle aches and pus-filled boils that cover your body and sores and all of this. And all the all the fake cases there are. So, what do you say? I mean, what do you say? Actually, next time I visit my favorite local GIMP store, I'll have to talk about all this to the manager and make sure. And this applies to my favorite fetish sex clubs, you know, when I dress up as a GIMP and I get hung upside down with my hands tied behind my back with ropes and everything like that, and I do all that. You got to be really careful now, you know. And, you know, when we're using all those sex toys and I'm, you know, I'm putting those big dildos, you know, up my bum, you know, I got to make sure that everything's clean because I don't want to get monkeypox virus, you know. This is the thing, it's very, very important. So I think the best thing, according to the CDC, for couples would be to, you know, dress up like doctors and, you know, and then, you know, have these weird, awkward masturbating sessions, maybe in mirrors and things like that, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just conjure up whatever you can, you know, make it fun, people. But just remember that you're not getting the monkeypox if you, you know, or you're less likely to get the monkeypox if you do these weird things. And just remember that the CDC and these folks over there are not mocking you. It's all normal. This is all normal now. Anyway, moving on to a little bit more technology news as I whiz through these. Give us a look. This is from Tot News. And I covered this a little while ago, but Ethan over at Tot News has done an article on this as well. So pay with a smile, MasterCard launches biometric purchase system. MasterCard's long-discussed biometric checkout program has now entered a pilot phase, allowing customers to pay with a quick smile or a wave of their hand. And I can imagine that when you smile, there's like a ding, you know. So you go into a store or you grab a coffee or whatever, and you get what you want, and you don't pay with a card, a plastic card, or actually cash anymore, anything like that. You just kind of turn your head and you look at the person behind the counter and you smile, and it's like ding, there's like a little flash there, you know, and you make your eyes all starry and sexy. And so smile to pay. Smile. Smile through tyranny. Smile through tyranny, folks. MasterCard has rolled out a controversial program that will allow shoppers to pay at the register with a mere smile, as it tries to secure a slice of the $18 billion biometrics market. And the company's Smile to Pay system recently announced is supposed to save time for customers at checkouts. It is currently being trialed in Brazil, of all places, with future pilots planned for the rest of the world. press release with a smile or a wave, paying in store just got personal. Well, of course it did, as Big Brother reaches inside your personal being and you know, possesses you, basically takes you over. The demonic entity of technology takes you over. According to reports, customers will have to install an app which will take their picture and payment information. Don't worry, that app or whatever it is will soon be part of you and inside you anyway, so you won't have any choice. This information will be saved and stored on third-party provider service, and the company has already partnered with Fujitsu and other groups on the initiative. So executives argue touchless technology will help speed up transaction times, shorten lines in shops, heighten security, and improve hygiene in businesses. So COVID, boom, boom, boom. I remember when we were doing the podcast here, you know, when all this first started, we were talking about the touchless, how they're going into the touchless things, you know, because you're spreading the fake illness, and how that was all used to bring in this. I was speaking to a person today who said they were denied to actually put cash into their account at the bank, and the bank told them that they are not accepting cash anymore. Have you ever heard anything like that in your life? A bank actually telling you that they don't accept cash. Well, how do I fucking put... gone are the days of, you know, getting paid cash and going and putting it in your account, because they don't accept it anymore. It's insane. So you got to move to another bank that does, but we're running out of time, folks. So one of the big things that we've always talked about on this podcast is touchless technology, AI, touchless technology because of COVID. And that was one of the main things they were going to bring in, and they are bringing in. And we knew this. We've been talking about it for so long on this podcast. They don't want you touching anything, so they're going to face scans, iris scans, and all this kind of technology. And of course, it's going to speed things up. And they're all talking about how it's heightening security. So, you know, as we talked about in Australia, Bunnings, Kmart, Good Guys, these places, and I guess it's coming for the supermarkets, are using facial recognition technology when you go into their stores. So Australians need to, we've already done it. We've done a few. You need to go online and you need to send letters. You need to send emails directly to these companies and Kmart and this, and tell them, if you don't take this out, we're not using you anymore. Everybody needs to do it. We can't just keep putting up with this, folks, and walking into these stores and taking this. It's ridiculous, because the more we take, the worse it's going to get. You know, the worse it's going to get. It's going to get worse and worse until they snatch our souls. So this is, I was online looking at Kmart, and according to these idiots, they're saying that it's improving in-store security, because, you know, we're all thieves. We're all shoplifters, you see. And it's going to prevent that. Well, fuck you. Bullshit. That's an excuse. And they're using COVID-19 to do all this. So we know what it's all about. We can see how fast they're moving now. Once enrolled, there is no need to slow down the checkout queue, searching through their pockets or bag, MasterCard said. Consumers can simply check the bill and smile into a camera. To pay at the checkout, the customer's face will be matched with the stored data, and once their identity is verified, funds will be deducted automatically. We talked about this, how they're doing this in Queensland with the rail, with traveling on transport now, you know, and so they're going to connect your account, your bank account up, wirelessly through all this technology, so you just go through and you do these things day to day, and it all gets deducted from your account, and you don't have to touch or do anything. And then that's obviously leading into the social credits and everything like that. And being, and as they take away cash, then you're going to have, you're going to be given tokens and credits. And that's, so if you're a good little boy in society and you go through your day to day and you do everything that Big Daddy Government and Big Brother say, then there'll be lots of little tokens or credits for you as you move through this system. You won't touch or do anything or pay for anything, and you won't have any paper money or anything or wallet or any ID or passports anymore, or driver's license or anything on you whatsoever. No wallet, nothing. No cards, nothing. Every store, everywhere you go, your work, everything you buy will be done and deducted through this new biometric dystopian system. And that's what I've been saying on this podcast since day one, is that you will become the system and the system will just automatically recognize you as you go through it. And this is going to be big time in airports and everywhere. Walk in and out. For now, they're telling you to smile, which is actually doing something. You're getting something, and then you're turning your head and you're smiling. But, you know, I mean, soon that's gone. You just walk in and out. And the information will be stored on you wherever you go. You know, that database will connect immediately. And so in the store, buy your coffee, deducted from your account with your credits, and you walk out. There's some kind of red alarm going off. Hang on, you haven't been a good boy. You don't have enough credits to buy that. You know, so in order for you to get more good social credit score tokens or whatever it may be, you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to suck up. You're going to have to suck up to the Greens leader, Adam Brandt, who doesn't like the Australian flag anymore. See, the leader of the Greens Party in Australia, and I did an article for the members on the website, and there's another one that I put up today. When he does press conferences, he has his servants remove the Australian flag and throw it in the bin. See, and because he doesn't like it, because he hates this country, because he stands for communism and the United Nations. And that's what I said in the article. You need a United Nations or a communist Chinese red flag behind this fuckwit. And that will perfectly, suit him, because that's what he represents, communism. He hates Australia. He hates everybody in this country. And you know who he hates most of all? White people. And he fucking really hates white families. If you're a white family, European descent in this country with kids, and you work hard for a living, he fucking wants you dead. And it's time for the stupid Australian people to wake up and see reality. Because these people want you gone. So this guy, because stupid Australians want to save the climate from changing, and the climate changes every day when you get up in the morning, through the day, throughout the day. The climate changed a lot today, actually, when I was out. It was windy, it was a bit cold in some points, then it got warm when the sun came out. That's climate change. But because stupid Australians want to save the climate, they voted this Green Party, who represents pure communism, you know, pure communism, who are a front for the United Nations. They just gave this guy, this psychopathic fucking lunatic, more power than ever. So the Australian Green Party, which is probably one of the most dangerous and worst in the world, now have more power than ever. And this guy, he's king. He is lord. Adam Brandt he's the emperor. And when he gets up now and talks, he's beyond prime ministers. He's beyond anybody. And he gets up there, and his servants, they come in on their knees, you know, like those ball boys at the tennis, and they come in on their kind of crouched, and they take the balls off. They're like that, and they come in and they do things for him, you know. And one thing is getting rid of that disgusting Australian flag. It's, you know, get it out of the picture. I don't want to see it. And so I'm really just waiting for them to come in and put a big Chinese flag behind him. Or maybe what he reckons better, the blue UN one with the flat earth, right? Whatever it is. But this guy hates this country, and he hates everybody in it. And And unbelievably, after being inoculated and tricked and scammed and having and Australians having their lives ruined, after we've been, you know, people have been treated like dog shit, they turn up in their millions and they go and vote for this guy who just did that. And so you sit here and you shake your head in disbelief. Anyway, similar authentication technologies are used on smartphones, Face ID, and in many airports around the world, including smart gates. In Australia, the biometric dystopia has engulfed Australia. So when these smart gates get going and you haven't had your jabs, what's going to happen, you reckon? You're not going to have very good social credit scores, people, if you're not inoculated or you're not up to date with them. So this continued shift raises concerns relating to customer privacy, data storage, crime risk, and bias. Who cares? I want to be able to walk in and get my cappuccino in the morning without saying anything or doing anything. You know? Because I'm a fuckwit of the modern society who can't do anything for myself, and I'm too weak to do anything for myself anyway. I love it. I love that Big Brother thinks for me. MasterCard is among the first to launch such a system in Western markets, competing with the Pay With Your Palm used at cashierless Amazon Go and Whole Food brick and mortars in the United States. Shopping giant Woolworths has also trialed cashless stores in hopes of moving to similar systems. And I know in Australia, at least with when Woolworths, if you remember last year during COVID PSYOP, they actually went cashless in a few of their stores and people were so pissed off and outraged and there was so much pushback that they reneged. So there you go. That just shows you. This is like an evil dark tide and it washes in and it washes out. And the more we put up with, the worse it's going to get. But every time we, in enough numbers, stand up and push them back and say, no, not happening, they go away. And I keep saying this, they're going to come back, but that's why we need to be on guard and keep pushing this system out before it consumes everybody. You know, and I think, you know, it could be possibly soon most people just give up. Hey, you know, I just want to travel. I just want to be left alone. And you know what? It's easier at the end of the day for technology to do the thinking for me because I'm unable to do that anymore. And I've got no problem with this. Facial recognition technology has long raised eyebrows among civil rights groups who won't exist soon, and much about the precise functioning of MasterCard's system isn't clear. How accurate will facial recognition be? Who will have access to the databases of biometric data? Wouldn't be China, would it? Existing biometric systems are largely also used by police and other departments on many occasions. In some countries, even banks have become comfortable relying on it to log users into their accounts. Do customers know what they are consenting to? And that's a very important point there. Do customers know what they are consenting to? So what do you do when you just do it? When you just do it, you know, when you just go and play into the system and you don't say anything, you are fucking consenting, you are contracting. If enough of us just stand up and say, no, we're not doing this, then they can't run it and they have to go back to where they were, you know, to where they were. So, you know, that's the way it is, but it's up to the people. We know what we're doing, but MasterCard teams will decide how they use the data, for how long, where they store it, and who can access it. And they will also choose what providers are good enough to be accepted as partners. The current best facial authentication algorithms still have error rates according to tests by the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Most are not laboratory quality or real-life settings. If the technology misidentifies a person. For instance, John is recognized as Peter, or twins are confused for each other. Could money be taken from the wrong person's account? And keep in mind, they're going to be able to take credits out of your account as well for things that you did or didn't do. And how will fraud begin to increase with switches over to biometric payment systems? And what if you're not being a good boy online? Isn't that where they're moving to in Australia? Some folks sent some information there. So, you know, in Australia and through the Australian Communist Fabian Labor Party, now they're moving to put pressure on social media platforms like Telegram and stuff. To make sure they stamp out people like me, and that we're full of hate speech, and we're spreading misinformation, and so that's what's coming now. That's what Labor. That's what Australians voted for. So they're going to shut us all up, you know. And if you're and what I think they want to do eventually is give you a code. So you know. If you're at home and you get up in the morning and you log on and you try to go onto Google or you try to search the internet, it's going to ask you for a code, and that will be your ID that will be assigned to you by the government. And then you'll have to type that ID in, sort of like a, you know, when you wake your computer up, sort of like typing in your code to go into the computer, you know, the one that you put in there, or your phone. It's going to be a government registered ID, so you're going to put in that code in there and to use the internet, but that will be your, that will ghost you for everything that you do and every single print you leave online. And if you're not doing things that daddy Big Brother government approve of, then it's going to affect your credit score system, and that's going to be deducted from your account. And so it will create a massive it's like a class society, you know. So the goody two-shoes who have high credit ratings, who are always doing and dobbing everyone in and doing what they're supposed to and being good little citizens, you know, they're going to have so much more benefits than other people who are doing things that Big Daddy Communist government doesn't approve of online and all these sorts of things. And you're going to be poor because you don't have the right credit scores and enough credits in there to even really do anything. See, that's what Klaus Schwab was saying. You will own nothing. But if you do what we say, you'll be perfectly happy, and they will. But if you don't, life's going to be miserable. You just will never be able to get out of the hole. That's where they're going. That's where it's going, folks. But you look at society getting their jabs, and they believe in COVID, and they just, you know, they're all around me. They're all around me. They just absolutely love the government. They love the councils and paying their taxes. They mow their lawns every day. They're out there. They just love it. If they've got a problem, they're straight on the phone.
Asking the problem, so I've got a problem. The neighbor across the road has this, that. Is that correct? I think there's an unvaccinated person living across from me, and they're having a party tonight, and the music is very loud. I'm just ringing up. What should I do? My wife and I want to masturbate. And I want to wear surgical gloves. Is it okay to have a mirror so I can watch myself masturbate in the mirror? How far should we be apart? I'm not sure. Should we have eye contact? Should we have eye contact? Okay, I'll do that.
They do everything that they're told to do. And so I can see a lot of people really loving this kind of system, because what did I say so many times? And you know what? I think I was the one of the only people who brought this up last year, or at some point, I remember I kept bringing up that COVID-19, with all the restrictions and lockdowns and social distancing and gloves and mask wearing and rubbing the hands together like demented sick crickets, and all the rules and hoops people had to jump through and everything, it created structure in people's lives. And a lot of people who are kind of maybe geared towards this, they really took this up and they really enjoyed it. You know, whereas most of us, it was hell, or we just completely ignored it. But there's a lot of people out there who just absolutely love it. I have a guy next door to me, a next door neighbor, that just absolutely went in overdrive with this stuff. He had QR codes on his doors and mask signs. He told me, I can't go near his house unless you're inoculated. You know, they really took the whole COVID-19 platform, and they built it into their lives. It's like they needed it, you know, and they're all talking about it. You see them, you know, if you had COVID-19, if you had your vaccines, I've had my vaccines, how many you've had, I've had my booster, you know. They just love it. And it's just, it's almost like their entire lives have come down to this point and they've been wanting this, you know. So really, in that way, the governments have just given them what they wanted. And it's given them that structure. I have to wear my mask. I have to sanitize. I've got to wear my gloves. I've got to QR code, I've got to do this. Simple Simon Says, I've got to stand in line, I've got to do that. And it's like, it's given them that kind of structure in their lives that has made their lives complete. And so I look at this kind of system, you know, this AI new beast grid, you know, and biometric system, it's going to do everything for them. And their lives are going to be structured in such a way that if they do the right thing, which they love to do for the government, they're going to have this really good life where they won't own anything, they won't have a soul anymore, they'll be completely under control. They'll be a product, basically, of a company. You know, they'll be a product. They won't be a sovereign human being anymore. They will be a product. You know, basically a product in a department store, owned. But they will like that because they will have this, this illusion of a better life. I don't know how it works in their brains. I'm only just reaching out here and kind of, you know, getting the conversation rolling. But they're really crazy because they're around me. And I know this fucking idiot next door, even when the government took out the masks and the QR coding, even when the QR coding wasn't working anymore and it wasn't active, he still had it up on his doors. Who has QR coding laminated A4 papers up on their doors where they live? So this guy, this fucking idiot, he's going beyond what the government have asked him to do, you know what I mean? And so these are the people who are really going to take up this new system, where everything's going to be done for them and everything's going to be easy for them, and it's all based on protecting them and keeping them safe. And they really want that. You know, most of them have, you know, Google Home and smart homes now, and big brand new fancy homes and cars and everything, and they really enjoy the technology. You know, but for us, this is just hell. It's like, I don't want to go into hell, because that's what this is. Fuck this, man. I'm not going. So, you know, look, folks, you know, I mean, I definitely do have a MasterCard, and I've got a MasterCard, but you know what, fuck it, I just don't need it. You know, like, MasterCards or credit cards, the one thing I've really trained myself to do with our family here is not use them and get in any kind of debt whatsoever. if you're using them just for little things. And you know, the thing with credit cards is they can be great, especially if you're on holiday. You know, for example, if you're on holiday and you need to hire a car, or you're staying in a place and you can use that while you're away and you deal with it when you get back, they're quite nice, you know, and I can understand the addiction there and how people just sort of use them, you know, but look at what they're doing now. You know, so this is the thing, you know, we're going to have to give up these things and start tossing them out and cancelling them, you know, and getting rid of them. But, you know, I also understand that a lot of our bank cards, you know, with our banks, if you have a look at your debit cards and cards you use, they've got MasterCard on the back, Visa and things like this. Possibly try to look for companies who aren't going in this direction, but to switch over. Let us know what you think. But boy, man, they got us, don't they? They got us. They got us hooked. Yeah, so there you go. You know, I mean, boy, it's really moving fast, isn't it? A couple more to whiz through. This came up tonight. I'd say it's all about fear, but it's so there's an article from Yahoo News Australia, Woolworths, Coles, massive shortages to last for weeks. And they're showing you these damning photos of completely empty supermarket shelves. Shoppers across large parts of Australia are going to face fresh produce shortages for weeks as the major supermarkets face massive supply crisis. Damning photos show the several Woolworths stores simply don't have any salad stock to put out on their shelves, while cabbage has been touted as makeshift substitute for lettuce. See, they're substituting cabbage for lettuce. And then, you know, when there's no cabbage, then I guess it's maybe, I don't know, something else. And then when there's none of that, you know, maybe it'll just be, you know, grass clippings. You know, if you mow your lawn, keep those clippings and have them as a salad at night. And then we can see what they're doing, you know, then it will be their bugs. Because that's what they want us to eat, bugs. And then they'll probably, as I've said on many podcasts, they take away the bugs and then they start telling you to eat your own poo. You know, but we can see where they're going. Major stores and in Sydney as well have no bags of greens and salad or lettuce or anything. So, you know, it's all manufactured. It's there. They're just withholding it. This is all about fear, folks. And this is the next stages now. So, as I said, what happened to the COVID-19? Because now in the news all over the country is bare supermarket shelves. But hang on, last year it was the General Fruin, the full brass military general, up on television screens telling you to get vaccinated. There were army on the streets and helicopters over our heads in Sydney with you know, blurting out these messages to go inside. An army walking around the streets. Look at what happened in Melbourne. People being shot in the back. Police everywhere. Stay inside. COVID-19. Now everybody's had their injections. Now there's food shortages, but there's no mention of COVID-19 virus. Just little bits and pieces here and there with a little bit of monkeypox and masturbate yourself with surgical gloves on and a mask in the mirror and, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But mostly it's all about this now. So unbelievable how things are changing. And you see, no one seems to fucking care that this is changing so much. If I talk to people, they don't care. But for me, it's just incredible, and I won't shut up about it because it's unbelievable how the narrative is changing so radically and sharply. It's incredible. Now there's no tomatoes and lettuce. and zucchinis are in short supply and all of this. Remember the toilet paper? It's unbelievable. But if you look at what they did last year, you know, hang on, wasn't there a pandemic which was bad enough to shut down entire cities of millions of people in it, and what you did with us in the lockdowns and with the military on the streets and police and the threats and shooting people in the back and people losing their jobs and mass suicide rates and lockdowns and being forced in our homes, military and police in the western suburbs of Sydney going door to door making sure people are in there inside? How come there wasn't any food shortages then? But now there's food shortages for absolutely no reason. You can't get broccoli and you can't get salad leaves now. Isn't it incredible, folks? Can't people see where they're going here? Mr. Turner said customers will have ample supply of apple citrus potatoes for them to purchase in the current weeks. Well, fuck, folks, that's great. You know why? Because winter is apple season, so go and get yourself some apples. Go and have yourself some citrus, make up some potatoes, and get what you can. Don't buy into the fear. That's the most important thing, because that's what this is all about, fear. It's absolute fucking bullshit. And as I said a million times, they told us over and over again during the fake COVID-19 bullshit that Australia produces 3 to 4 times more food than we actually need. So don't worry about any food shortages. Do you guys remember that? Because I covered it over and over and over again last year. It was on the radio, it was on the news, it was on the TV, it was in the papers, it was everywhere. Because people were panic buying. Because of the toilet paper. You know, like flashing a colour or saying a word, putting them under mind control. The toilet paper rolls we used. How crazy is that? And we covered this time and time again. They were actually coming out over and over on the media saying, don't worry, don't panic buy, don't try to strip the shelves. Don't worry. The big wigs were coming out and saying, Australia produces 3 or 4 times more food than what we actually can handle. So there's plenty to go around. Don't worry about it. But barely a few months later, now in 2022, there's food shortages. So if we produce 3 or 4 times more food than what we need just a few months ago into last year, then how is it that we got food shortages now? People can't see the bigger picture here. You can't put one and one together to make two. Seriously, you can't. What a crock of shit this is. The whole thing is just, oh, I sit here and shake my head, but these people around, they believe it. Hurts my head. This was a good article this afternoon that I was reading. I didn't post it. From CarlDrongPool.com. We are still here. Only weeks ago, it was the admitted goal of our own leaders to make life unlivable for the unvaccinated. And as a deputized collective, we forced, multiplied that pain, taking the fight into our families, friendships, and workplaces. Today, we face the hard truth that none of it was justified. So we're still here. We are still standing. The unvaccinated, the unclean, the hated, the unwatched, the unwashed, the dirty, the lepers. You tried to knock us down. We were told we were the problem. We were told that life would be made hell for all of us. Weren't we? Last year. I know people. I had friends that weren't vaccinated, and when it got to like near the end of last year, around October and stuff, they ran and they ended up getting the jabs because they were so freaked out. They just thought that they were never going to have a life again. Like I, you know, they were like, they just, They couldn't see family. They couldn't move around. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't work. And they just went and they got them because they thought there was just going to be no existence for them. And I just sat here and I tried to tell them. I have close friends. I tried to tell them. It's all a bluff. Go out and do whatever you want. Don't listen. You're being scammed by the TV. It's mind control. And they couldn't see it. And the very same day that I said that, I'd go out and do some shopping and do whatever I want. And nothing happened. And now look. Every day I called their bluffs. And I sent them a scam. And they got so spooked. And it got up to around near last October towards November. And they came out here in New South Wales and said, if you're unvaccinated, you can't go back. You can't have your life back till nearly the end of December. And it just tipped them over. They hadn't had the jabs yet. And I was like, what are you doing? Don't do it. Just hold the line. Don't worry. It's all a bluff. It's a con. They're going to take it all out. Not only that, they're going to start tearing down their own system and denying responsibility for what they did like they're doing now. And they went and they got their first dose and then they got their second. And because they honestly thought they weren't going to have any kind of life. And now look. And I said that time and time again. I told everybody. I kept saying it to people I care about. I said, you know, we're going to be treated like lepers. You know, we are going to be the scum of society because we didn't get those jabs. But don't worry, it won't last long. It's all going to change. They didn't listen. You fired us from our jobs, attacked us, insulted us, shunned us from family gatherings. You cheered on the government wickedness and oppression, or you silently accepted it when your voice was needed. You tried to break us, but we're still here. And some of you are waking up to that. The battlefield is still warm. Following Canada's war on the unvaccinated, the mandates have let up, and both sides stumble back into something that looks like the old normal, except that there is a fresh and present injury done to the people we tried to break, and no one wants to talk about it. Only weeks ago, it was the admitted goal of our own leaders to make life unlivable for the unvaccinated. And as a deputized collective, we force multiplied that pain, taking the fight into our families, friendships, and workplaces. Today, we face the hard truth that none of it was justified. And in doing that, uncover a precious lesson. It was a quick slide from righteousness to cruelty, and however much we might blame our leaders for the push, we're accountable for stepping into the trap despite better judgment. We knew that waning immunity must or put vast numbers of the fully vaccinated on par with the shrinking minority of unvaccinated, yet we marked them for special persecution. We said they hadn't done the right thing by turning their bodies over to state care, even though we knew that principled opposition to such a thing is priceless in any circumstances. And we truly let ourselves believe that going into another ineffectual lockdown would be their fault, not the fault of toxic policy. And so it was by willful ignorance of science, civics, and politics that we squeezed the unvaccinated to the degree that we did. This Canadian woman gets it. So does this Australian man who adapted this article for Australian readers. We took pleasure in scapegoating the unvaccinated because after months of engineered lockdowns by political leaders blinded by power, having something to blame, to blame and to burn at the stake felt good. We believed we had logic, love and truth on our side, so it was easy to wish death upon the unvaccinated. Those of us who ridiculed and mocked the non-compliant did it because we were embarrassed by their courage and principles and didn't think the unvaccinated would make it through unbroken, and we turned the holdouts into punching bags. Lambie, Carr, Chant, Andrews, McGowan, Gunner, and the other cast of hundreds in prominent roles need to be held to account for vilifying the unvaccinated in public and fueling angry social media mobs. The mobs, the masker Nazis, and the vaccine disciples have been embarrassed by betting against the unvaccinated because mandates only had the power we gave them. It was not compliance that ended domination by big pharma companies, Bill Gates and his many organizations, and the World Economic Forum. It was thanks to the people we tried to embarrass, ridicule, mock, and tear down. Read both of these pieces. If you supported these mandates in any way, apologize to those you hurt or helped hurt. We can move on from this, and many will easily. But some are still being shunned, some are still locked out of work, and some are still being crushed. If you recognize you're wrong, then advocating for those still being crushed is a way to show penitence. Things went too far and people cracked and made mistakes, but we should learn from what happened. Those hurts will forgive those who seek to make restoration, but did you learn? That's the most important thing of all. A really good article, and I'll post that as well. You know, and people, they jumped on that train, didn't they? That we were all dirty and filthy and we were spreading it everywhere, and it was because of us that the lockdowns were continuing. It was our fault because we didn't want the jabs, so they just kept locking everybody down and they were getting their jabs and we weren't, but it was our fault. They looked at you because you didn't have a mask on in the shops, and they judged you. That you were a bad person and dirty because you didn't have a mask on and all of this. And now all of this scam is being taken down. As I was reading out last night in the UK, they're actually now in the main UK papers online, they're actually saying that these PR tests were all a scam. Dominic Perrottet, New South Wales Premier, came out and admitted at a press conference, live on TV, that the QR code system is an absolute scam and doesn't do anything. Wait till you see what's going to happen. Now the media are coming in. The media are coming in, as I read out last night on the show, and basically saying, was all this wrong? Let's investigate it. Wait till another few months. They're going to take the whole thing down and say the whole thing was a scam. And it shouldn't have been done, and we were wrong. We're sorry. So how do these people that treated us like lepers feel? Will they fucking apologize for what they did? Or will they just turn their heads and ignore everybody like nothing happened? Because that's what I can see a lot of these fucking cowards doing. How are they going to feel? You know? What did I say over and over again on this podcast? They're going to get double-crossed. They're going to get so fucking stabbed in their backs. What are they going to do about it? Because they rode that wave in that fleeting, very brief moment in our lives where they were on top. I got my jabs. I'm king of the castle. You're dirty. You can't come and have a beer with me in my club. We don't want you. You're not allowed here anymore. We don't want your kids coming over to our place anymore. We don't want to see you anymore. You're not jabbed. You're not part of our crew anymore. We're going out for dinner. We don't want you. You're not jabbed. You know, you're dirty. Your children are dirty. We don't want you around us. And now look at it. The whole fucking thing is being flushed down the toilet. What are these people going to do? Because we stood our ground. We called their bluffs and we stayed true. Every fucking one of us. All of us. We stayed true. Didn't we? We did. And we said no. And I said this last night on the podcast, and I'll keep saying it, and I said it to people who listened to me and they followed along. I said, just hold out. You know? Because all this is going to be exposed. And you got those jabs for nothing. And they're all going to deny what they did, including the media. They're going to all deny. The police, the media, the governments, all of them are going to deny any part of this. Sorry. Yeah. You know? But there's so much pain and suffering to come. And it's going to take a lot of strength from us to keep pulling through here, because we were the smart ones. We called the bluff. We understand what's going on here, but it's going to take a lot of strength. A lot of people we know and a lot of family members and loved ones have had these jabs, and we have to be prepared for what's coming because they didn't listen. Mm-hmm. Look at this from Health Impact News. com. 82% pregnant women getting COVID vaccine have miscarriages. This is all coming out now as well. In January, the New England Journal of Medicine came out with an article that stated that pregnant women who got the shot did not have a higher rate of spontaneous miscarriage. However, when you look at the data, they lumped women in their third trimester into the first trimester group and assessed whether or not they had a first trimester spontaneous miscarriage. When you take that cohort out, the rate of miscarriage was 82%. Right in line with findings from the Pfizer documents. My God, there's I'll put that in the description. There's a link. Dr. Elizabeth Mumper. For a first trimester woman to get this injection, they have more of a chance of having a miscarriage of stillbirth than if they were to actually take an abortifacient. What is it? An abortifacient. Abortifacient. I guess. Horrifying miscarriage rates. In pregnant women. Couple of videos there you might want to watch, which may be hard to watch, but oh my boy. Also, I'll just finish on this because, you know, who knows where this is going to go, but there's been a few of these articles coming out recently, because I was saying, you know, like, where are they going to go with these needles? You can't keep giving people all these needles forever. I mean, they're just not going to take them. Anyway, from Nine News Australia, and this is fed on a lot of other outlets as well, needle-free coronavirus vaccine trial begins in Australia. And this could be the future. That's what they're saying. So a new COVID-19 vaccine trial has started in Australia, which doesn't involve needle injections. The Covalia trial is using a jet injector to deliver DNA vaccine to healthy volunteers. The device is one of the key features of the new vaccine trial, which is recruiting adults in Sydney, Adelaide and Perth. Come in, roll up. Circus is in town. What we're doing in this particular trial is just taking the DNA code, and isn't that wonderful, and using a special needle-free device to force under mechanical force. that DNA genetic code into the cells. Isn't that wonderful? The trial's lead investigator, Associate Professor Nick Wood from the University of Sydney, said, "The device is already used in the US to deliver the flu jab, but it's only approved in Australia for research. It really is the key to get the genetic code into the cells," he said. "The approach is different to how currently approved vaccines are created. So Pfizer's mRNA vaccine is created with fatty nanoparticles to deliver the genetic code, while AstraZeneca vaccine uses a harmless virus to infect the cells. Sure, the Covigen vaccine is designed to deliver this stuff, the DNA instructions, to teach the body's cells to make the COVID-19 spike proteins, bullshit, the knobs that project from surface of the virus, bullshit, so the immune system can build a defense, bullshit. Overall, we hope to get 150 people on the phase one trial to look at the safety and immune response," Dr. Wood said. Can you believe this? So anyway, that's a short article, but I just wanted to finish on that. And there's millions of dollars being funded into this research. But who knows where they're going with this, delivering the mRNA soul-destroying inoculations into people. And, you know, as I said before, these gene-based vaccines, they're openly admitting it now. It's a revolution of gene-based vaccines that they're going to be putting in as they change us and wipe away our souls as we go into transhumanism. And how they're going to get the boosters into people and all of this that need it. But as I said before, people who have had these injections, who keep living, who are going to get sick, they're going to be needing help. And I guess they're going to be moving into all this technology to give them. You know, if you're going to need this kind of force pumped stuff into you every week or every couple of weeks or month or whatever it is to keep you alive, I'm guessing most people are going to take it. So this is going to be a massive cash cow for the pharmaceutical corporations as people try to stay alive because they had those initial COVID-19 injections and they're so sick. And they've got heart problems and all sorts of million and one issues, and they're just having such a miserable and painful life. I'm sure they're going to be begging for these new doses to be pumped in, and there won't be a needle, so don't worry. Pretty amazing, eh? Anyway, I'll be back tomorrow night with Dawn for a chat, and hope you guys are doing fine. Enjoying the website as we move forward into 2022. So stay safe. Look after yourself, guys. And contact me anytime. Let us know what you think of the podcast. If you want to add anything or let me know anything, please do that through the website email. And I'll be back again tomorrow night with Dawn. So take care.